Church. Welcome to the local church. If this is your first time, I want to say thank you for being here. My name is Steve. I'm one of the pastors here. I'm the worship pastor, and I get to lead worship each and every weekend with this amazing team here. Give it up for them. And with the production team as well, you can give it up for them as well. Because of the production team, you can see the lyrics and you can sing along and the lights and all that stuff. So it's awesome. So thank you, teams, for serving our church, serving this morning. But I get to lead with these teams, and I get to lead it with also the best leadership that I've ever been a part of. The pastors here all love you so much, church, and we are blessed to have them as our leaders. And this Sunday, we are in the second part of our Sunday Fun Day series. And out of this series, we are hearing from multiple speakers about their favorite message or their favorite part of the Bible. And so I want to encourage you to come back. I'm not the regular teacher here, and I'm glad I'm not, because this is a lot of work. And but Sunday Fun Day, we're hearing from a lot of pastors. And Pastor Garland actually shared last week. Wasn't he great? He shared about love. And that Jesus is love, and we can share that love with other people. And he did a great job. If you missed it, I encourage you to go on YouTube. We have our own channel, The Local Church. And like it, subscribe, hit the little bell so that you can get notified when messages go up. But if you missed it, go on YouTube and check it out. Or you can go on our website at thelocalchurch.com. And you can see all the messages that we've shared there, but specifically Pastor Gar's, which is an amazing message. He had so much wisdom to share. So today, I get to share on something that I'm very passionate about, and that's worship. Oh boy, the worship pastor speaking on worship. Yes, that's happening, okay? But it's something that I've studied for the past 10 years. It's something that I value so much, and something that I hope that I get to share, something refreshing and something new for you this morning. But in the 10 years that I've been leading worship for student ministry and for adults, I've learned a few things. And one of the main things that I've learned is that worship is not just music. Some of you are like, yes, I agree. Some of you are like, what? When we say worship, doesn't that mean like the band's going to come out and sing? Yes, you're right, okay? But it's much more than that. And we're going to talk about that today. And but for some of you, you grew up in church. When I say the word worship, a couple songs come to mind, right? Songs that you've grown up with, or songs that led you to Jesus, or songs that you felt God's presence with. Maybe songs like, Here I Am to Worship, or I'm Coming Back to the Heart of Worship, or songs like Shout to the Lord, or Amazing Grace. You think of those songs. Some of you are like, yes, but those are kind of new. You can like go back and go further back with hymns and all that stuff. And others, you weren't raised in church, and in the 90s and 2000s, those songs don't relate to you, or you haven't heard those and worshiped with those, but you've sung songs like Oceans or 10,000 Reasons or Do It Again, which is a popular that we've done here. So it's clear, though, that as a people, we have different histories, we have different backgrounds, we have different church cultures and different preferences that come with that, right? And so as a team, if we're not intentional with the songs that we choose, the culture that we set, in honoring the diversity and the history, things can get really messy. But we're here now. We're here today. And we're a local church that worships God every weekend, that worships with powerful teaching, with powerful music, and is generous with our local community, and that makes meaningful connections each and every weekend. So we are here, and we have to create some sort of worship culture that that helps us all identify together with. And so together, we're going to create a culture of what true worship is. So what is true worship? As we talked about worship, when we hear the word worship, we think of a lot of things. But the truth is, the root of it all is that we all worship something. If it's a favorite team that you have, or if it's a favorite artist, or it's a favorite celebrity, or it's your favorite person, we all worship something. And I grew up seeing and experiencing this firsthand. My family's from Argentina, if you didn't know. And in Argentina, the soccer culture is everything. It is so different than it is here. Like, we're getting there. America is getting there. United States women's just won the World Cup last week. Yes, ladies, come on. That is amazing. Specifically in soccer, though, the culture is totally different. And I grew up playing it and enjoying it, but looking at the culture in Argentina, it's totally different. It's totally something that is breathed, that is lived, that is died for. And in Argentina, in the capital of Buenos Aires, there's two teams, two big rival teams in the capital, and that's River Plate and Boca Juniors. And we don't have to get into the teams too much, but what you need to know is that River Plate is the worst and Boca Juniors is the best, okay? Just remember that. Anyway, if you disagree with me, you're wrong, and it's okay. There's grace. Anyway, Boca Juniors, this is their stadium. I wanted you guys to see. This is only half of it, actually a third of it, and wow is an appropriate answer. Yeah, people are crazy there. People are crazy for this team. Those flashlights that you see there are not flashlights. They are fireworks. And yes, some of you might see, but there are people climbing a fence here to get a better view of what's going on. This is full of people. And I've been to Argentina. I can tell you that, and I've been to a game, and this is normal. This is something that happens every single week. It's crazy. These people worship Boca Juniors. They clap, they dance, they sing songs. I was actually going to show you a video of what it's like, what this is like, but they sing the worst things, so I was not able to show it in church. But they sing, they dance, they cheer their team when they're winning and even when they're losing. They give their hearts, they give their sweat, they give their blood, their tears for this team. Some of them spend the very little money that they make each and every week to buy a ticket to go see them every single week because they love and they worship this team. My family and I, well, my dad and I, my mom is actually River Plate, so that's a whole other thing. But my dad and I, we watched Boca Juniors from the States, and we would always work our schedule around like when they were playing. We made sure that we were always home at kickoff. We didn't want to miss a beat of it because we loved the team so much. And so we worshiped that team. These people worship this team. And some of you are like, well, Steve, like, this is America, it's a little different, like, you know, I don't really worship a team, but we sell out stadiums for artists, for celebrities. We sell out stadiums for Super Bowls, and this happens too. But each of us have our own thing that we worship, and maybe it's not at this grand scale. If we're honest, the money, the time, and the attention that we spend on certain things in our lives, we worship them. And if you're still not tracking with me and you're like, nah, like, you know, it's a stretch, then maybe what you worship is this. Maybe you worship your cell phone or being connected with everything and everyone. Maybe it's Facebook, maybe it's Instagram, Twitter. And for those, actually, so being completely honest, which I try to be completely honest always. Isn't that weird when preachers say that? Anyway, being completely honest, I almost showed a different picture of me and my wife and my daughter on the beach, and they're smiling at the camera, and I'm on my phone turned the other way, which is super embarrassing, so I'm glad I didn't show that. But now you have a picture in your head, so it's the same thing. Anyway, maybe this is what you worship, but if you're still not tracking along, and you're like, no, Steve, like, I don't care, like, about other stuff, maybe you worship yourself. Maybe you're self-obsessed with the way that you look, the way you present yourself, the way you show yourself to other people, that nothing else really matters to you. But the point is that we all worship something. And what I'm here to talk about and tell you is that if we keep worshiping these things, they're never going to satisfy you. You're going to live a life that is not fulfilled. And I promise you that if you've gone through heartbreak, if you've gone through disappointment, you've experienced this already, and it's not fun. It's not a good season to be in, and it's going to continue to happen to you. Why? Because you weren't created to worship that, and it wasn't created to satisfy you. Wow, Steve, that's kind of a downer. How much time you got? Because, you know, it's not working out so well. Well, I know it's a downer, but if I just gave you that and, like, you went home, that'd be terrible. But we have something as Christians that has an answer to this. We have something that satisfies us, something that we're created to worship and to adore, and that is Jesus. That's who we should be putting our attention and our love on. In Psalm 16:11, it says this: "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Don't get me wrong, all right? It's okay to enjoy things in life. They were created for your enjoyment. But when we hold those things higher than God, when we focus our attention and our love and our affection for those things rather than God, that's when we mess up. That's when we become so distracted about who God is and his love for us, and then we don't respond to him the way that we should. So we have to remember that we have to keep God in the center, and true worship is God-centered. So why do we worship? Why do we worship God? It's because we were created to worship God. We are commanded to worship God alone. He made us in the very beginning to give glory to him. He commands it to his people in the Old Testament, in Exodus, and I'll read this for you. "You must not have any other God but me. You must not make for yourself an idol of any kind or any image or anything in the heavens or on the earth or in the sea. You must not bow to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affections for any other gods." So not only is worship something that's commanded to us, it's something that we respond with. It's us responding for what God did for us and is still doing for us. And so when we remember what Jesus did for us, then that's when we truly worship him. A pastor and theologian called John Piper says this, and it's so important as we understand, as we unpack what true worship is, and it says this: "The inner essence of worship is to know God truly and then respond from the heart to that knowledge by valuing God, treasuring God, prizing God, enjoying God, being satisfied with God above all earthly things. And then that deep, restful, joyful satisfaction in God overflows in demonstrable acts of praise from the lips and things that we can demonstrate, like acts of love in serving others for the sake of Christ." So true worship is not only God-centered, but it is Christ-focused. When we are focused on Christ, we understand and respond with greater affection and greater gratitude in our hearts. So we need to know what he did for us. And what he did for us is laid out in Romans 8. It says this: "Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen?" It's God who justifies. He justifies us. "Who then is the one who condemns?" No one. No one can condemn us, church. "Is Christ Jesus who died?" No, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. So who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Nothing. I encourage you to read the rest of that chapter on your own. But nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. And the truth is that Jesus did so much for us, but he's still doing stuff. He's at the right hand of God interceding for us because he still loves us. He still wants us. And the more that we realize this, the more that we will be driven to worship and to love him. But as you live your life, things happen. Life happens, right? The world will tell us that God is far. The world will tell us to focus our attention on things of this world. It will try to distract you and say that God is not working anymore, and may even bring doubts of fear and doubt into your heart, into your mind. But I want to encourage you in those moments: trust and love Jesus, worship Jesus because Jesus is so much better than anything this world can offer. So who do we worship? We worship God the Father. We worship Christ the Son, and we also worship the Holy Spirit, which is, he's in this room right now. It's because of the Holy Spirit that we first believed. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit that helps us deal with our sin each and every day. It's the Holy Spirit that helps guide us and speaks to us. So true worship is Spirit-empowered because it's by grace through faith that we are made alive to God and dead to sin. Only those that have been made alive by the Holy Spirit can worship God truly. And that's who God is looking for. God is looking for true worshipers. So that leads us to how. How do we worship? In John 4, it states it clearly. It says, the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Church, say, in spirit and truth. I want you to remember that. We're going to lean into the truth part in the beginning a little bit. But I want you to remember that today as we walk out today. If we worship God without knowing the truth of what he's done for us, then we can't truly worship him. That's why the continual study of God's word is so important. That's why reading the Bible is so important. And it's essential for us so that we can understand the gospel more fully and make us the mature Christians that we are called to be. So the other thing is, true worship is word-based. The word is so important. The Bible is so important because God worked through his word. Everything that we do today, everything that we've done is based on his word. From the beginning when we started with scripture to the songs that we sing that are based off of the word of God, to the announcements and the actions that we are doing as a church that are based on the word of God, to the message that is shared today. Everything is based on his word because he works through his word. And I'll prove it to you. In Genesis 1, he created by his word. In Hebrews 1:3, he sustained his creation by the word of his power. In John 1:1, he came into the world as the word. In Romans 1:6, he saved us by the power of his word. So preaching and preaching the word of God is the primary way that we worship him. And it's the way that Jesus modeled it. Also, the disciples left us with that. But also, we're commanded to preach the word of God until Jesus returns. It's not just the preacher up here. We're all commanded to do that. But also, we have it in our songs. We sing it. We sing the gospel. We sing scripture because it's so important. As we continue to reflect on the truth of the gospel. But please remember this. Don't let the message that you hear today and the songs that we sing and the announcements that you hear be the only time you hear the word of God. This is important. The way to continue to know who God is and what he's done for us is to read the Bible and continue to seek him. That's why this walk with God is called a relationship. The more that you pursue God, the more you will be in a relationship with him. The more you learn and see who Jesus is and what he did for you. How great his sacrifice was for you. The more that you realize that, the greater your love and the response to him will be. So imagine this. Imagine one of the relationships that you value the most in your life. Imagine that. You got to know their name. You got to know a few things that you guys had in common. You're like, oh, that's cool. I like that too. You're like, hey, I can get with that. That's pretty cool. And imagine that you didn't do anything else with them. Your relationship would have never grown. It would have never developed to what it is. But what did you do in these relationships? You invested time, right? You invested energy. You even invested resources to learn more about that person. And then you allowed them to share part of your life. You had them even influence parts of your life. So now imagine a relationship with God. If you invest time, if you invest energy, if you invest resources to learning the truth of God, of who he is and what he's done for you, then your love and your worship for him will grow. And at the same time, as we focus in on truth, the heart is so important. Because when we engage the heart, we engage God with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And this overflows and causes us to praise him with complete joy. It means that our worship becomes passionate. It becomes spirit-filled because it's based on the truth of Jesus Christ. It's not based on our situation. It's not based on our circumstance. This is what it means to be worshiping God in spirit and truth. So true worship engages both the mind and the heart, and that is our another point. John Piper, my best friend ever, says another great quote, which I wanted to share with you guys, is that worship must be vital and real in the heart, and worship must rest on the true perception of God. Truth, there must be spirit where there must be truth. Truth without emotion produces dead orthodoxy and a church full or half full of artificial admirers. On the other hand, emotion without truth produces empty frenzy and cultivates shallow people who refuses the discipline of rigorous thought. But true worship comes from people who are deeply emotional and who love deep and sound doctrine. Strong affections for God rooted in truth are the bone and marrow of biblical worship. So just as John Piper says this, I encourage you to do it. Engage your heart and engage your mind to go deeper with Jesus, with your walk and with your relationship with him. So how do we worship? Let's get practical. How do we worship? Paul writes this in Romans. And he says this, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Now, though worship is about God, it's not about us. True worship builds up other believers around us in both their minds and their hearts. Again, Don't misunderstand me. Worship is about God. But there's a natural benefit for the people around us when we worship God truly. It causes us to grow in our love and our affection for him as we do it with one another. And that's why there's worship that is both vertical and there's horizontal. And my point of this is that true worship is edifying. And this is how we can be a church that worships and that is edifying. One of them is with acts of faith. We believe that faith will happen here. Acts of faith are acts of singing praises to him, praying to him, worshiping him. The others are studying God's word in this setting as we're doing together or in a small group gathering. Your tithe is an act of worship. It's an act of faith. Your generosity so that the kingdom of God can come and can be heard to the city of Davie and to South Florida is an act of faith. These are all acts of faith that we are doing each and every week and that you can be a part of. But there's another act, and there's the act of help. Because we believe that help happens here. We are the body of Christ. We are the hands and feet of Jesus. And that's why as a church, when we see a need, we meet it. That's why with City Surf Projects, we go out of our way to reach kids, to give them what they need for their school supplies, to beautify their schools. And other moments where we can be the hands and feet of Jesus is with one another, by praying and encouraging one another. Hebrews 10:24 says this, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Don't neglect to do good. Share what you have with others. These sacrifices are pleasing to God, and both are acts of worship. So my last point in this is when. When do we worship? In the verse Hebrews 10:25, it says, let's not neglect to meet together. This is important because meeting together as a church is where familia happens. This is where connections happen. This is where our faith is being put to use. This is where our help can be put to use. This is where we pray and encourage one another. This is also where we can share hope. The gospel is hope to this world. And you get to be a part of that each and every week. Isn't that awesome that we get to be a part of a place where God is transforming lives in the city? And we meet every single weekend and do this. We worship God because he's worthy. And there's also a natural great benefit that happens when we do it with other believers. But my last point on when is this, is that true worship is more than Sunday. Earlier today, in the beginning of service, we read a psalm. We read a psalm that is very dear to me, that I've used a lot of moments in my life, and it's Psalm 34:1, and it says this, I will praise the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be on my lips. Wait, hold on. Does that mean that I have to sing all the time? Like, Steve, I'm not a great vocalist. Like, I'm not a great singer. You do not want to hear me at all the time? No, okay? Just in case you guys are wondering. No. And that's why worship is not only singing. The word will, and I want to dive into this word will. It's a word of action. It doesn't just happen naturally. It requires intention and it requires desire. We have to have intentionality when we praise the Lord. And that's what happens when we truly worship him with intentionality. In my life, Psalms 34 has been very easy at times, especially when I feel like God is blessing me, when everything's great. And in those moments, I thank him because my heart is already poised in a state of gratitude. In moments of joy, like when I graduated high school and college, or when I got support from my parents to go into full-time ministry, or when I married my best friend after 4 years of dating, and when we were blessed with a beautiful, healthy little girl, and when that little girl calls me mama when she knows I'm papa, and she does it with a smirk on her face because she knows it bothers me. And I'm serious, that wasn't just for a joke, she does that. When that little girl raises her hands in worship, that song we sang, Echo, is her favorite song. We put it on and she starts dancing. And I can't make those movements on stage, but she raises her hands and claps. It's beautiful. And in those moments, I can't help but just say, God, thank you so much for all you've given me. But then there's other moments. Moments in my life when worship wasn't easy. When my grandmother who lived with us all my life passed away. When my mom and my aunt both were diagnosed with cancer. When my dad was nearly paralyzed from a back injury. When my uncle suffered a stroke that altered his life forever. When we walked with a close family through emotional abuse. When we walked with another close family through the loss of their child. Worship was not something I even wanted to do. It wasn't even on my radar. And to be honest, it was so difficult to walk through that. But it's something that I knew that I had to be intentional about if I wanted to be obedient to God. Because I knew that God deserved it no matter my situation, no matter the circumstance. And in these moments, some of them very dark, some of them very quiet, some of them very painful, when I was obedient and I allowed myself to hear from God, he was able to shift my perspective. And I was able to hear him. And it's not an audible voice. You know, a lot of times it's not just an audible voice. It's just a shift in perspective. You hear his comfort. You feel his comfort. You feel his pain. You feel the joy that he brings from your pain. And he lets you know that he's in control and that he's got it. And he even told me, I've got something better for you. And that wasn't just me being obedient in the corner of my house or in church, but that was me being surrounded by people that loved me, that cared about me, that motivated me and encouraged me to love God even through the storm. So familia, when you remember what God has done for you, and when you're obedient in that and you respond in that, God will do amazing things for you. He'll speak to you. He'll guide you. He'll help you through the heartache that you're feeling. And he will lift you out of the sadness. This is something that he's promised us. And it's something that we've read earlier. And we'll read it again. In Psalms 34, it says this. I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. Radiant with joy, it says, guys. No shadow of shame will darken their face. In my desperation, I prayed, and the Lord listened. He saved me from all my troubles. For the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear him. If we believe that God is true to his word, to keep his promises, then this is truth. And this is something that we can reflect on daily. So when can we worship? Whenever. As the band comes out, we can worship whenever. Some of you, this is so freeing to you this morning because you always thought that you can only worship when you come to church, or when you hear the music, or when you hear the pastor preach. But the truth is that you can worship whenever. I love worshiping with you every week. I love singing with you. It's the best job that I ever had. And this corporate gathering that we have each and every week is biblical. And it's beautiful. But there is so much more beauty that I've noticed in the private with God that I want to share with you about. This can be a message on its own, but moments with God in the private have been some of the most life-changing, transforming, and freeing moments that I've ever had with him. If you've never done this, I would encourage you to listen and try this. But what my wife and I do every week is that we go downstairs and we put YouTube on our TV, on our smart TV, and it's a playlist of worship music. Some of the songs that are so powerful that we even sing here at church, and we just enjoy God's presence because of a promise that he has is that he's going to be there. The Holy Spirit is going to be there. And so in those moments, sometimes when we're dealing with something or we're in an argument or we need guidance or we just need joy, being in his presence fills us with joy, as we've read earlier. And that's what he does for us. So I encourage you, when do you worship? Worship whenever. I encourage you to take 30 minutes this week and invest that time into your relationship with God, to be in his presence and worshiping him through that. Whether it's listening to a message on your way home, listening to a message on your way back home from work, or even just being home and turning on music and enjoying his presence. Technology is beautiful, where you can access God whenever. So I encourage you to do that, because when you do that, you create a space. You create a space for yourself to be able to hear from God. So there's so many ways that we can do that. But when you worship God in the private, when you hear from him, don't keep it to yourself. Go out and show the other ways that you can worship with acts of faith and acts of help with your brothers and your sisters, with your friends. Love on them. Encourage them. There's so many ways that we can truly worship our God, and that is the beauty of our God. So I want to take the few moments that we have left and spend a little more time worshiping, and worshiping with this song that we've been learning as a church. I really, really love this song, and I believe that the next season of ministry, we're going to be reflecting on this song a lot. But I want you guys to reflect and respond with these lyrics as we read them. And it goes like this. Oh, how far beneath your glory does your kindness extend the path, from where your feet rest on the sunrise to where you sweep the sinners past. So the Lord came down from his glory, right, to sweep our past away, to make us clean. And his kindness and his love for us is greater than we could ever imagine. And it continues with this, and oh, how fast would you come running if just to shadow me through the night, trace my steps through all of my failure, and walk me out the other side. Anyone remember the prodigal son? How the son left, made mistakes, and came back. And the father saw him and ran out to him because he loved them and he cared about them. That is our God. He knows and he walks us through all of our failure because he knows that we've made mistakes and he knows that we will continue to make mistakes. But he doesn't leave us or forsake us, which is back in Romans 8 if you want to finish that chapter on your own. And then it says this, "For who could dare ascend the mountain, that valley hill called Calvary? For the one I call Good Shepherd, who like a lamb was slain for me." That's the gospel right there. No one but Jesus was sufficient enough to pay that price, to wipe away all our sins. It was only Jesus. And what did he do? He climbed that valley hill called Calvary for us. He was slain like a lamb for us, willingly. When we realize this, church, we respond. And we respond with this chorus. "I will praise you on the mountain, and I will praise you when the mountain's in my way. You're the summit where my feet are, so I will praise you in the valleys all the same." Again, remember that word will, the intention behind the word will. And then it says this, "No less God within the shadows, no less faithful when the night leads me astray. You're the heaven where my heart is, in the highlands and the heartache all the same." Church, this is our God who is faithful to the end. And we have a responsibility to be obedient and to worship him through it. Though life happens, God is still good and he's still worthy of our worship. And so this morning, if you are in a heartache, if you're dealing with something, I want to encourage you to give that to the Lord. We're going to have prayer counselors up front to show acts of help, to pray with you, to encourage you. And we're going to also have prayer counselors up front to share this message of Jesus. If you need to know more about Jesus so that you can respond in true worship, we want to share that with you. This is your first time hearing about Jesus. We want to share that with you. This church family will be so excited for you to hear about Jesus and what he's done for you. But as we respond with the rest of the song and as we sing, I want to encourage you to engage with your hearts and engage with your mind as we worship our God. Amen? So let's pray. God, thank you for today. Thank you for being faithful, for being good. And thank you for your word that helps us understand who you are, that you work through your word. And so God, as we worship with this song, would you be glorified in it? Would you shift our perspective to worship you?